Hello and welcome in to the last summer episode of the season. I'm Buck. I got Lou here with me, and we are going to be talking mostly about the release schedule on this episode. We also have an updated schedule for us to talk about, just kind of laying the groundwork here. As I said, this will be probably the last summer episode. We got some life stuff happening over the next like month-ish, and then we're hoping to be back with regular weekly scheduled episodes in about a month, probably the second week of October. We're looking at something like that. And that is just about a month before the first regular season game. So, I guess enjoy not hearing our voices for about a month, because after that, you'll hear it every week. But yeah, Lou, what's up with you? How's life treating you?
Can't complain. I'm actually, this hashtag might give it away, but, I'm rambling to the altar in a few weeks. And that is the official hashtag. Didn't have to bribe anyone. But yeah, no, excited. I don't want to say my fiance might have got a little annoyed of how excited I got about a full schedule coming out over some of our wedding planning, but I got pretty excited to see a full schedule. And there was one game, and I'll talk about it, that I still don't know how it happened, but it's on the schedule, and I'm still confused how it happened. But there was one, at least one fan on Rambler Mania that kept promising it was happening, yet I could not find proof that it was happening. So, but again, overly excited to actually see a schedule. I look over the roster just to make sure that's all solidified. But again, pieces are coming together, the puzzle's being put together, and I'm really excited for this season for sure.
So I shouldn't bring up in your household which is more exciting, finishing the seating chart or releasing the non-conference schedule for the Loyola Ramblers? Like, I shouldn't bring that up.
I wouldn't. Again,
okay, I'll steer clear. Yeah.
Sadly, not a single one of my members of the seating chart could bring me a national championship in Loyola basketball. But you know what? If they could, there'd be different things to say.
You know, they say, like, don't what are the topics at the dinner table you're not supposed to touch? Like politics, religion, and Loyola Chicago men's basketball non-conference schedule. I think those are the three,
I think that's how it goes, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, definitely congrats to you. I mean, you don't need to hear from me. I'm telling you it all the time. But definitely fun life stuff on the horizon, and you're doing a good thing. You're getting it done before the season, which is just like, you know, it's great planning, I think, on your part. And then you'll just have free access to your seat up in the rafters for the season.
I like it.
Why don't we kind of just talk about the schedule? Cause that's all we got. Just starting from the top, from non-conference, I think, just kind of some takeaways right off the bat. I don't see a game against a non D1 school, which we always harp on and being kind of a pest more than anything. It always seems to kind of do more harm than good. And, you know, at past like few years, those games, at least like two of the five starters don't even play, you know, three or four of the main guys don't play. And yeah, it's good for some of the bench guys, but it does nothing to help our team in the long run. So I'm happy. I'd much rather not play a Division I game than play one. So that's kind of out of the way. And then, yeah, I mean, I'll just list off some of the ones that jump out. And then Lou, if you want to jump in and talk about some of them, I know you want to talk about one. But just right off the bat, I'm happy to see a game against UIC. That's a great rivalry, and I want to keep it going. Likewise to DePaul. Happy to have that there. I'm interested and honestly excited about traveling and going to play at Harvard. I think that'll be a good matchup. And we got a game, two neutral games, one against Clemson and one against Stanford. The Stanford game actually wraps up the non-conference for now. So those are the ones that jump off to me. But Lou, why don't you take it away and tell me about one or a couple of them.
Yeah, for sure. I think one just general thing is I'm really intrigued mainly by how many non-conference games are home games. Mm-hmm. Again, a handful of them are away. I think really one, two. I don't really count UIC as away, right? Just because it's really not. But really Stanford, Clemson, and Harvard away, and then of course the tournament, but that's always going to be away. So really nice kind of to like to see the kind of streak of games. I think love the UIC renewal for sure. Fairleigh Dickinson, that was an interesting one. Shout out to Marcus Towns, that's where he transferred from, just fun fact. I actually really think my favorite one is Green Bay, just building that relationship. It's not terribly too far. I wonder if this is going to be something similar to when we used to play Milwaukee a lot. Again, I believe they're the same, what, Summit League, right, or Horizon League. So same conference.
Horizon,
yeah. Yeah, so same conference, so that kind of caliber team. And side note, Milwaukee beat us late December of 1 year, and that following spring we went to the Final Four. So that was the last time we played a team, at least around Milwaukee. But, yeah, I think the biggest one for me is how the hell did Stanford happen and why is it happening? I tried to understand, is there like a Pac-12 A-10 thing? I couldn't see anything. I don't know the coaches. I'm very excited, though. Like, I'm not at all disappointed. This is a very exciting game to have, in my opinion. A top caliber type of team. And in both teams, I think we could definitely do some damage there as well. So really excited and really happy that that got out. And then just again, the sentiment that you said overall, not a single school under D1. I think that's a huge, huge lift. I get nothing wrong with Roosevelt like we did last year and stuff like that, but I think those are more around the exhibition games. Just because also the fact that those games count toward the record is kind of just embarrassing when sometimes they don't look smooth and they look clean. So I think these competitions can really just impact us. So yeah, I'm really excited. Looks good. I think it looks definitely competitive, but also looks strong, because if you realize we are going into a strong conference, so you kind of do need some games to lighten up the heavy load when it comes into conference play for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I agree with you. I don't understand how the Stanford game came to be. Maybe we'll never know, but I'm excited about it. I think it's a great matchup. I think it's funny that it's a neutral game, because it's probably a couple hours for Stanford, and then for us it's, you know, two-thirds across the country on a plane, and then there's really – it's in Santa Cruz, sorry. It's in Santa Cruz, and I've been told I don't know much about California, but it's apparently hard to get there. Like, it's not right near an airport. So I just think it's interesting. But the ones that I mean, we kind of already touched on it a little bit, the UIC game and also DePaul. I love those matchups. You know, maybe if we continue to play those two, Northwestern will finally come to their senses that they just need to accept defeat once a year against their superior Chicago. I don't know what you call it. They're not town city mates, but neighbors. That's it. And just add us to their schedule. But DePaul especially, I know that DePaul hasn't been all that great the past couple years, but just they have the pieces to actually be decent, and like somewhat consistently too. And you know, I don't think they're gonna finish top five in the Big East anytime soon, but even like a 500 or just under 500 conference season plus like a decent non-con is gonna be a top 100 opponent every year. So like I think that's just a good one to continue to have. It's easy for both teams. It's like you can sleep in your own beds. And I also this past week went to watch the men's soccer team beat DePaul at Loyola. So I just really think that that's like setting up some good juju for when DePaul's basketball team comes to Gentile, because I just think it's going to be, you know, we our soccer team won 3-1. So I just kind of expect the same energy. You know, maybe we'll win like, what, like 60-20? Like, I think that's very doable and like super appropriate to just triple up on them. I think that makes perfect sense. But no, anyway, it was a great game, and I'm looking forward to that matchup continue. One of the interesting ones that I mentioned earlier is the Harvard game. I think that is actually, it's interesting since they're on the East Coast, and I believe it's a weekday, or maybe it's a Friday, the 25th. But yeah,
it's the Friday after Thanksgiving, which is very interesting. It's black. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. I like it because I think that that will be a setup for, or like kind of a dry run for what conference play, like travel will look like for our Ramblers, just because there's so many East Coast. I mean, they're pretty much all East Coast games. But yeah, I would imagine that whatever they do, you know, I don't know if they're going to fly out like Thursday night or fly out Friday morning or something, but that would be a recipe for what they might try to do in conference time. Or if that doesn't work out, then they'll do something different. So I like that as like a, from a logistics standpoint, them kind of having that dry run before they do it, like at least like seven, eight times. You know, discounting the games at Dayton and St. Louis, because those aren't really the same. But yeah, I think otherwise, I think our invitational, our tournament at the beginning of the season, I think it's a good one. You know, I'm not gonna sit here and say it's great, but we'll have a matchup with Tulsa, who, I mean, in all honesty, we should beat them, but they could end up to be a pretty decent, halfway decent mid major foe. And then we face off versus either Boise State or Charlotte. Again, probably similar. I would probably rather see Boise State just from a conference standpoint. But, you know, I think both those games are winnable. And then after that, really the team we'd love to see is Texas A&M. They're definitely the best team in the tournament. And even if so, if we were to win the first two and get to the championship and lose against A&M, I mean – they're a top 10 team, I think, this year, at least top 15. So, and obviously winning would be the optimal outcome. But, yeah, I think it's good. And I think if we need to walk out of there with two wins, one way or the other. And if we don't, then I think it is probably not a failure, but, right, it's not a good look. So, Lou, what else? Any other contest you want to talk about, the non-con, or do you want to talk about those tournament games or anything like that?
Yeah, no, I definitely think Loyola is going to beat DePaul 3-1 in basketball. I think it's going to be a very good one. I think some of the biggest stuff is just really for me is those neutral sites as well, right? Like, so Clemson and Atlanta and Stanford, Santa Cruz. So don't know what the atmosphere is going to be like, because I don't know of many students who might make that journey. Clemson also kind of right before finals, I'm guessing, right? For both mm-hmm. schools, and Stanford is right there before Christmas. So I really do think it will be more of a neutral site. Same with Harvard, even though Harvard's at Harvard, it's the Friday after Thanksgiving. So maybe you'll get rowdy fans. That was just something that went through my head. It was like, oh, these are like kind of all neutral games. So very interesting there. But no, I think the only thing that I really was kind of shocked and didn't understand why, but maybe the A-10 doesn't seem to have that. Again, we only were part of it last year, and I'll have to check some other MVC team, is A-10 doesn't have that kind of early conference game that we had last year. So something just to look out, that we do start conference play on New Year's Eve. So what a way to bring in the new year, right? I know I'll be watching. I don't know how many else will, but that's an interesting thing there for sure. And then I think lastly for me, the Myrtle Beach Invitational, I honestly think it's a winnable tournament. I think not a winning record would be very, very disappointing. And I'll just outright say it. That's the thing. It's like, we've played actually Boise before. I think it's the same head coach. So I think, funny enough, we could potentially end up playing UMass in there, right? Or Murray State. So a lot of teams that will have, like, I mean, UMass will probably already, like, know the school a little bit, right? So there's a lot out there to kind of figure out, but I really do think the bracket set up where Loyola could make some damage for sure. I think a 2-1 record for sure would, 3-0 would be amazing, but 2-1 would really solidify how I felt about the tournament for sure. So yeah, again, it's a really good schedule. It's a strong schedule, I think. We'll see down the road how things kind of fare out. If things become a quad one, quad two win, you can't really dictate that now. Yes, there's preseasons, right? And we'll get into that in more detail. But right now, I think it's definitely solid. And it's definitely something to look forward to in the next 2 months for sure to start.
Yeah, I think you said it pretty well. And I think just honestly, we can just move into the conference. I want to talk about so many new matchups. It is kind of wild just as a, from a fan standpoint, right, to go from like knowing two-thirds of your schedule or more, and then now it's like the majority of our schedule is just teams that we haven't played in a long time. Yeah, just kind of going down the list, how it works. We have, I think it's four matchups that are four teams that we play twice, and then the rest of the conference we play once. There's 15 teams, so that ends up being, 10 single matchups, and then eight or four times two.
Eight.
18. That's math. That's math. Easy math.
Easy math.
Yeah, so the teams that we play twice are St. Louis, Dayton, just George Mason.
George Mason and SLU.
You?
Or did you already say SLU? Did you say SLU already?
Yes.
St. Joe's then.
Yes, SLU, St. Joe's.
George Mason
Dayton
and Dayton.
And George Mason. Yeah, yep. Okay, we got there.
We got there.
And the fun part, the good part is the SLU and Dayton are the top two teams in our conference in the A-10. I think that's pretty hands down obvious at this point. They're both going to be pretty darn close to ranked in the top 25 week in and week out. So it gives us four chances to play against that sort of caliber of team, which is great. And then the other two, I do think George Mason could be like halfway decent. I think they're not quite in the same. I wouldn't have them right around us, but they're definitely top half of the A-10. I would put them probably like seventh or so, mm-hmm. or more. We're more like fifth or fourth. And then St. Joe's is the bottom of the conference, just top or bottom three. I think we're looking at. So hopefully, you know, a couple easier wins in there, and then four really solid games. But otherwise, I mean, I'm personally, I know it's kind of obvious, but I'm really looking forward to the first matchup, that December 31st game at home against George Washington. I think that'll be super fun. It should be a fun atmosphere, I'm hoping. I know students aren't going to be there, which is probably a little bit of a bummer, but if you're around in the city, you know, make sure to come out. It should be a fun time. Hopefully get our first A-10 dub under the belt and just keep going from there. I think VCU should be solid. I think that'll be a good game. And then some of the teams that I kind of have pegged as being very similar to Loyola, and maybe even pretty pesky. I think Davidson and Richmond will both be, I know Richmond has a few, older players, or at least like, half the roster is like coming back from last year. And then, Davidson, I know Davidson has a bunch of like big guards. They're a very big team. Kind of similar to Dayton, actually. Dayton's point guard's little, but then the rest of the team are pretty big. So, that's just kind of some thoughts that I have. But, Lou, I want to hear what you have to say about our conference schedule, that is.
Yeah, I really – again, I don't know if it was location, because I think SLU and Dayton are the closest two schools to us. So the fact that we happen to play the top – at right now, the top-tier programs of the A-10 – twice is, I think, a huge opportunity, right? You can, no matter how it looks, is like you could get two really good wins or one and one, and with a solid quad two or quad one loss, like stuff like that. It just also adds to also the level of who you're playing, right? Now, nothing against LaSalle, they all have history, but like playing LaSalle twice and Dayton once, you're like, I don't know if two wins against LaSalle is the same as going 1-1 against Dayton. I don't know, right? But I'm just really excited for that, especially just also, I think there is the idea of Dayton and SLU coming to the arena. I do think those two schools are slightly Midwest, like student populations. So I think you'll definitely get maybe alumni from both schools coming to Loyola, because one, it's a lot closer of a drive than either of the schools if they live in Chicago. So I know I have a handful of Dayton people that are probably going to want to come. So I'm excited for that. The one point that I just want to point out that I don't like, actually, and has nothing to do with the opponent, it's just the scheduling. I just think it's going to be interesting how we figure this out. But we finish at home with St. Joe's on February 8th, which is a Wednesday. Then we go to Richmond on the Saturday. And then that following Tuesday, 3 days later, is at Massachusetts. So it's
do you fly back?
I don't think you do. I think you, because like you would get, if you fly back Saturday night, you probably wouldn't get back until like 11, and then what? You'd probably have to fly out Monday morning. The fact that Sunday wouldn't be really a school day, I would say you might as well let them stay in the hotel, then fly out Sunday to Massachusetts. That was something that was interesting to me. Now, again, I think it's interesting because it's a longer flight to the East Coast than it is to around the NBC. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. Like, this could have been maybe Indiana State and then Evansville. Now, granted, those two are not far from each other, but they're also not far from us, where we could have gotten back home, and the flight's a lot shorter and quicker than the flights to Richmond or to Massachusetts. So that's something that I just thought of right away, and I was like, oh, very interesting seeing how this works. That's, again, like you said, you bring up a good point with the Harvard game. The East Coast travel will be different for us. We will not have that quick flight, or again having the benefit of Valpo, a drive away, right? Or even SIU not far, like a lot of the whole NBC, that it's built near each other, right? That's kind of the whole point. So I think that's just though the next level you get to when you get to these conferences. Big East isn't close to each other. SEC, some of them are, but then all of a sudden it's Missouri to Florida, right? So it's like you got to just be prepared when you get to this. And I think we are actually doing some crisscrossing with the non-conference, right? Atlanta, Santa Cruz, Harvard, right? So we are – maybe that's something as well. Like Drew was like, hey, or whoever is like, we got to travel. We got to get ready for long flights. You got to get – so that's just something for me, regardless of the opponent. That's something I want to keep an eye out. First time I think we're really dealing with a lot of travel for that. So I'm really excited. And who we know, we might have a Rambler jet soon. If they do well. So, but overall excited for the calendar, excited for the schedule. Love your points of who we're playing twice. Just only sad I can't go to Fordham, back to my home area. My sister's alma mater. And I was going to be rowdy as heck with my family, but we're not playing there. So maybe next year we'll play back into the Bronx and I'll head out there. But just having a lot of fun with the schedule, I think is great.
Yeah, kind of similarly, I was hoping we'd play Duquesne on a weekend. I really enjoyed when we went out for the tournament game, the NCAA tournament game. I might still – I forget which game. There's one weekend game. I think it's SLU. I'm pretty sure it's SLU is the weekend game that we have. So I might make a trip down there, but honestly, I don't know. We've already been talking about hopefully being at the A-10 championship in Brooklyn. So that might just be the trip that I wait for and, have a good time while we're out there. So, honestly, it's like you said, it's fun. This is exciting. It's a fun time. You know, I think the expectations, we've already talked about it a bit, like at the end of last season too. I don't think anyone has unrealistic expectations. Like, I don't think we're going into this thinking, oh, we're going to win it, right? We're just going to move conferences and win it right away. I think the expectation just should be like a very good season, competitive year. Definitely top half. I think if it's not top half, that's a big loss. But I think a good goal is like fourth. I think fourth and getting that first or the double bye in the A-10 tournament would be huge. But anything from like fourth to sixth, I think is like, you know, realistic and like decent, and it still means that we don't have to play in the pillow fight on that Wednesday. Is the first round on a Wednesday or Thursday? Thursday.
The first.
I'm trying to remember.
They start Wednesday. Fight.
Yeah. The pillow fight's on the Wednesday. That's what they call it. And then there's three pillow fight games. So 10 plays 15, 11 plays 14, and 12 plays 13. And then 9 through 5 has a bye, and I think 1 through 4 has the double bye, I believe. So, double bye would be awesome, but even just getting top 5 would be great too. And I really do think the A-10 could be a 3-bid conference this year. I think it's very realistic. So who knows? You know, if it's tight at the top after the first two, like, you know, anything could happen. Win a couple games in the tournament, make it to the championship, maybe beat either Dayton or SLU along the way. Have yourself a huge win right before the Selection Sunday, and you know, crazier stuff has happened. So I do think it's possible to do that. And just looking at the schedule, we'll have opportunities against some pretty good talent, and like Clemson and Stanford, and even DePaul at the end of the season might look like a pretty good win. And same with like away games at Harvard. You know, who knows, if they end up winning the Ivy League, that could look like a solid win later in the season. So, yeah. Any last thoughts on the schedule? We'll get more into it later, like in a month or so when we come back. But just for now, any last thoughts?
Not at all for me. Excited. Let's just plan the A-10 tournament. Let's get that booked.
Yeah, that Brooklyn should be. That'll be a ton of fun. I've never been out there. I know we've talked about it, but it'll be a good time. It's at the Nets Stadium, right?
Yep,
it's at
Barclays.
Barclays, yeah, man, that'll be crazy. Going from, like, no offense, I love playing in St. Like, I went to St. Louis this past year at Arch Madness, and it was a great, great time. But, like, talking about going from whatever the heck, Farmers, is it State Farm Arena or whatever in St. Louis where they played? And then going from there to Barclays, like, I talk about, like, an upgrade. That is, like, I don't know. That is wild.
Yeah, the SEC played at that one year with us as well, which was interesting in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, there was that. We played the first week, of course, and then they came in after for the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, no, yeah, I agree. So, the level, especially it's New York, right? Like, that might be also a big appeal to be like, we're playing in an NBA stadium.
Right.
Now, again, the fact that we're playing in Barclays, granted, there's only one New York team now. Yeah, Philly's not far, and I would love if there's ever consideration to go play at the United Center.
I think the Big Ten is not going to allow that. But who knows? Maybe 5-10 years. I don't know how long their contract is there, but yeah. The other kind of big news, we meant to mention it earlier and we kind of both forgot, is the decommitment of one of our 2023 players, and that is Wesley Rubin. He is one of the twins between the Rubin twins that we've been talking about, going to Simeon in Chicago, and then both committed to Loyola. Just this past week, Wes just decided that he did not want to stay committed to Loyola. Both of us were extremely confused, just to be straight up honest. Like, neither one of us saw it coming. And even more interesting, you know, they both committed together. They wanted to make sure they were both going to the same place. And now, I mean, everything that we've read and everything that we could gather, Miles is still planning on attending Loyola and playing for Loyola, whereas Wes has just kind of opened up his recruitment to look elsewhere. We've talked to some people, and there has been a little bit of, I wouldn't put it at like 100% certainty that Miles stays, but it would have to take a school that is potentially in like a higher conference than Loyola saying, okay, both Wes and Miles come to wherever, right? Come to this ACC school or a Big 12 school, Big 10 school, whatever. And, you know, not that that's impossible, but I just don't think it's very likely. So at this moment, we still have Miles, which is great. We kind of tweeted about it, but just like, we wish Wes the best. Like, I understand if he was told potentially that he might have to redshirt or he might not play all that much his freshman year, something like that, something to the effect of that. If he wants to go somewhere where he knows he's going to play right away, then he should do that. And, you know, that's his prerogative to do that. It's kind of weird and confusing times and tough times for sure. Like, I personally feel kind of strange about it all. And I honestly, we're not going to know for a long time because until Miles signs his letter of intent, we're not going to know. And even at that point, I mean, college basketball, the state of college basketball right now is just like, players can decide wherever they want to go. And I'm not saying that I disagree with that, But it's just kind of the state. And until they have the jersey on and they're on the court, you kind of just don't know. And that's kind of the way it is. But Lou, yeah, that's kind of a lot. But what do you think about the whole Wes Rubin decommitment and how are you feeling about the situation?
Yeah, I think it's a little weird situation right off the bat just because I thought the reason why they committed together at Loyola was because they got to play together. But again, from the stuff I've been reading and people we've been chatting with or just even chatting with ourselves, it's the fact that maybe just Wes was like, hey, I think I can get a better situation, right? And Miles likes the situation he's in. He likes the coaching staff. He likes the opportunity. So maybe that's just how it went. And we won't know until unless someone outright tells us. But I think it was a little weird and shocking at first because then you're like waiting for the Miles tweet to come out saying I've also decommitted and it hasn't and sounds like it won't, which again, very lucky. I think Drew locked in so far in the history of Loyola the highest rated recruit we've had according to 247. So that's a big accomplishment and the kid's a Chicago own and that's also a huge accomplishment because some of the top talent from Chicago tend to also not stay in Chicago. So I think that those are wins. So to keep this potentially on the same path of committing to Loyola, signing with Loyola, I think is huge. And I know you and I want to go potentially see some high school ball. So I'll be
definitely
decking out Loyola gear for sure when I go see Miles. And I'll go see Wes. So you got to support Wes, the brothers. Who wouldn't want to see brothers play? But I also think it would be a funny story if Wes goes plays for a team that we could potentially play against. And again, you never know. Drew could be like, yeah, let's go play them. And I would love for – I've seen that. I have a personal story. I know that Porter got us to play at UMKC because he wanted to give them to give Clay and Ben a Kansas City game, right? Mm-hmm. That just one of those things that coaches can potentially do it if it works out. So definitely scary, definitely a little weird, but totally understand it. Again, these guys are 17, 16 years old trying to decide a huge part of their lives. So I think they can have the right to second guess or question their commitment and take it back. There's no reason for that. And again, maybe sometimes you want to be your own person and not have to be tied down to a brother, but who knows? And I best wish Wes all the luck and wish Miles all the luck to confirm to Loyola, which it sounds like he is and happy he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too, for sure. But yeah, I agree. I'm excited. I want to go see some Simeon games. I want to see Wes or both Wes and Miles play. It's just interesting. I don't know if we're going to get any sort of answer anytime soon. And I also tried to see, I was trying to read the tea leaves and talk to people that we know and see what Loyola might do with their open scholarship. And I honestly, I think they were so thrown off by this, or at least it wasn't their decision. So I don't think there is an answer right now what they want to do with that scholarship yet. Honestly, with their success in the transfer portal, I wouldn't be surprised if they really just try to use that and maybe even get a younger transfer, someone who's just coming out of their freshman year or redshirted or, something like that with 2-3 years left to play. So, I think they have a lot of options and they've proven that they can be successful in the transfer portal. So, if, as long as Miles stays committed, I think that they might just move forward and use that, scholarship for transfer, come next year. So, I that's all I got. Lou, any other thoughts? Any other, I don't know. What you got for me?
Just exciting to, the schedule has got me definitely hyped. Just a few weeks ago, we got to see our guys play and now we get to see who they're playing. So really excited. Best of luck to Wes, but now just everyone keep your eyes out. We have potentially a scholarship open for next year. Because again, we only have technically two seniors graduating in Bryce and Jamal. Yeah, Jamal, right?
Jamal Merrill. Jay Merrill. They call him Miro. M-E-R-O.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, Miro. And we'll have to fill that spot, whether it's going to be a high school recruit, transfer. that's where it's like now, because we're kind of late in the game. Granted, I just saw actually a recruit I know we offered committed just, I think, yesterday or today.
I saw it too, yeah.
Which we'll talk about offline. But so it's like some of these names that we were had early on before the commitment of the brothers are gone, right? And that makes sense, right? Some of these guys really want to commit before their senior year, and that makes sense. So we might also just have to play a waiting game. Don't look for this offer to be just rushed, in my opinion, because maybe Drew's like, you know what? Let's take advantage of a JUCO. Let's take advantage of potentially someone who wants to transfer, just because why is there a rush? Because we were locked in for so long now that, oh, we might have an opportunity. So, yeah, that's just something to look out for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. Cool. Well, that's all I got. I think that's going to do it here from Buck and Lou Podcast 63. Like we said, we'll be off for probably about a month now. But then come second week of October, look out for our return to weekly content. So thank you all for listening. Don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.